Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York City, and I'm broadcasting tonight from my bright red desk on a beautiful Sunday, November 8th, 2015. I don't know how it got to be November, but it is. And it's actually 8 days into November, so here we go. Last week was daylight savings time, my best one. Fall back, get that extra hour of sleep. This week we've adjusted to daylight savings time, and we are moving full steam ahead, 90 miles an hour. Heavens are very busy. And so what we do is we look at what the heavens are doing, and we understand it here on Earth, and we go, wow, that was really interesting. And we watch for the correlations, the synchronicities, the things that make us go, the part that makes us go, you know, you can't make this stuff up, which is, of course, one of my favorite sayings about astrology, besides the if it's in your heart, it's in your chart. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about the week ahead, the week of November 9th through the 15th, and talk to you about what you can anticipate, how to work with the energy productively, and perhaps how to look at the energy with a different way of thinking. One of the things that happened last week was, and I'm not sure if it happened before, I mean, I know when it happened, but I'm not sure if I knew about it at the radio show last time, last Sunday. There was a huge eruption of the sun, a coronal mass explosion. How does that sound? Where the sun has this big black thing and it's aiming and shooting stuff at us. Protoplasm, electromagnetic rays, EM, you know, ultra, all those little things that make the sun go, make things grow in the world, right? But what that did was it came and hit our Earth Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So a lot of people were really feeling a little off balance. And also what happens when that happens is there's kind of, because the sun, of course, our biggest guy in the solar system, and, you know, what we revolve around, essentially, you know, when he's yelling at us, which he was doing by sending us a coronal mass explosion, or is spitting at us, as the case may be, what he was doing was he penetrates our brain on a different level. It was an interesting article, and I encourage you all to go get it on Michael Erlewine's site, Erlewine. Google him, find it. He has a great article. He has a number of really good articles on that site, but he has a great article on the impact of solar flares and solar things coming and how it affects us on a soul and an ego level. So a lot of people, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, had big psychological reveals. I know I did. And a lot of other people were reporting them. So just kind of go read that article, because it really talks about when the sun kind of burps, for lack of a better word, passes gas, if you like that part of the body better. It says to us, okay, see this clearly, understand it. So I had a number of friends who had things happen, you know, major revelations, major understandings, seeing things in a way they never saw them before. I know I had it in my life. I had it in clients' lives, or heard about it in clients' lives. And our job when we have these is to understand that whatever was revealed is really important for us to look at. And it's really important for us to integrate as much as we can, because what it's going to do is it's going to allow us to integrate, take that knowledge. It's a reveal. It's kind of helps you really understand your ego purpose in the world, why you're here, what you're here to do, and kind of look at it from that perspective. Look at it as a teaching that it helped you go, oh, okay, now I see this in a different way than I did before because of that burp, that protoplasm expulsion at us, so to speak, the flare, you know. And a lot of times when we have a flare, when we have that kind of feeling, and those rays come dancing across our solar system and flying into Earth's atmosphere and come to us, we have an aha moment that's pretty big. And want you to remember that one. Note it, keep hanging on to it, and moving forward with it. This week, we have a new moon at 19 Scorpio, and the new moon is, the Sabian image is a woman drawing aside two dark curtains that close the entrance to a sacred pathway. You say, what does that mean, Anne? More secret pathways, more dark curtains? Really, I've had enough. But what this is kind of think about when you're in a bedroom or you come out of a movie theater, a dark theater, and you pull aside the curtains and behind them is revealed, right? Interesting image. So what I want you to do is kind of think about the secret pathway that shows up this week and to work with it positively. One of the things I'd like to coordinate going forward, the column's been on hiatus and Jupiter's coming to my sun, so it's getting relaunched. And I've been kind of thinking about what I want the column to look like and how I want it to work going forward. But I think it's also a lot about, as we enter these times, how do we work with, and I went, of course, when I saw this image, I thought, well, that's really a cool image. 19 Scorpio drawing inside two dark curtains that close the entrance to a sacred pathway. In other words, it's allowing us to venture down new pathways, to investigate new possibilities, to think about what it is we need, what our faith is, what our fears are that we have to kind of sit with and calm down. And then we have to give ourselves permission to move forward, to be curious, to be inquisitive, to say, gee, what's my desire we want? Now, remember, we've got this big T-square up there in the heavens, right? And the T-square, the part that wins, this T-square win. Every planetary configuration has winners and losers, right? Jupiter's losing because he's in his detriment. He's in Virgo. Doesn't like Virgo much. Got to keep track of the details and the list. Neptune's winning. Neptune's in Pisces. So whenever we are stumped, whenever we are having problems, whenever we are stressed a little, this next phase until September, October of next year, go to the Pisces. Go to the rapture. Go to the place that lets you escape from the world for a second into inner world, into being, into what your soul really wants. Take that moment. Take that time. Connect in. Pisces is the place where the soul seeks solace, and also it's where the soul finds its answers. So your job is to pull back the curtains this week. Look around for that sacred pathway. See what's showing up, because something's going to show up in your Scorpio house. Now remember, we just had Saturn spending 2.5 years there, and you might go, Ann, the last thing I want to do is go back in that Scorpio house. And I'm going to say, I know, but the sacred pathway is there. You got to go there because that's where the sacred pathway is. And you're going to go, you know what? I don't care about any sacred pathway. I'm tired of Scorpio. And I'm like, I know. But you know what's going to happen? We're going to have a big retrograde with Mars this year. Going to go back to the Scorpio stuff again one more time. No more Scorpio stuff. Sacred pathway. Scorpio invites us, and it always does. This is a time when the days get longer. We just got like a whole hour of darkness thrust upon us last week with daylight savings time. But this is a day when the days are shorter and shorter and shorter. The nights are longer and longer and longer. And we're in the darkness. And the darkness, of course, you know, if you've ever sat in darkness, when we live in an electrified world, take some time tonight. Turn out the lights. Sit in darkness. Sit in darkness on Wednesday. And think of the darkness and imagine a sacred pathway opening. Opening up something important for you to explore. Allowing yourself to be led. Allowing yourself to be invited into the transformational journey. We are beginning a new journey. Mutable signs say the old season's done. Done with that. Time to go off to the new season. New season coming. Getting ready. So this is that preparation time, that transformation time. It's real important to be comfortable with that we're undergoing this transformation, that the transformation has a purpose, that we're heading off into a new direction. And we are. So full steam ahead and have fun and open those curtains. Look out that window. Sit in the darkness. See what it says to you. All right, so our week ahead. Right now we are in Libra Moon, which goes void tonight at 9:42 p.m. And it's got a closing aspect of a separation to Uranus, which often is a little bit of a, you know, kind of a stressful energy. The moon is void all day tomorrow, all day on Monday. in Libra, which is a relationship moon. So it's a good moon for getting things accomplished, but not necessarily initiating new things. I like those void moons for finishing up stuff. You don't necessarily mail it out, but you wrap it up and you kind of go, okay, let's get this puppy moving. And you get stuff done, you know. And because the moon is separating from Uranus, opposition, fiery, release, let go, shoosh, shoosh, good to get it out of the house. Good departure moon. All Monday, all void, and Monday night at 11 o'clock, moon goes into Scorpio. Now, we're in the dark of the moon. Those 3 or 4 days when we're in the dark of the moon, we're in a really deep, deep interior space. Because the moon and the sun are merging, and the moon is finishing up, letting go, saying, okay, I'm done with this, I'm done with that, I'm done with the other, let it go, and I'm going to come to you, O sun, in the night, in the darkness, and we're going to merge. And in that merging, we're going to begin a new journey, a new adventure, a new pathway. Okay? So moon in Scorpio Monday night, then all day Tuesday, Scorpio moon. All day Wednesday, Scorpio moon. Until Thursday morning, 9:54, when the moon goes void sextile to Mars. So this is a very profound, positive, releasing energy, but still releasing because we're in dark of the moon. And then once we get to noon, 47 on the 11th, which is Wednesday, we're in initiating energy because that's the new moon. So whether you're releasing or you're initiating, releasing on Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday morning, initiating on Wednesday, Thursday, early morning, we're beginning this whole new this chapter. Positive energy, moon sextiles Mars. Mars is in Virgo, productive, productive. Moon in Scorpio, fertile, fertile, productive, fertile, wonderful earth, moon to get, we're earth and water moon to get things moving on. Then we go to moon goes into Sag at 10:14 in the morning on the 12th and 13th, and it is void all day on Saturday until 7:21. It goes void on Friday night at 10:18 with a square to Jupiter. Now think of this, moon in Sagittarius squaring Jupiter in Virgo, okay? So it's an overdoing moon, but it's overdoing in a positive way. We generally, moon square Jupiters are nice in the sense that we overdo, but we have a good time overdoing, even if we're not really supposed to. And then when we get to the void, we are void all day on the 14th, and then the evening of the 14th at 7:21, the moon goes into Cap, and it's in Cap the 14th, the 15th, and then it goes void at 3:53 p.m. with a sextile to the sun. Okay, so the Capricorn moon, Saturday night, Sunday, and all day Monday till through the void, and it's void until 2 in the morning on Saturday, Tuesday the 17th, that is a very productive moon. So we have productive moons all week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday morning, releasing, letting go, separating. Thursday, Friday, growing, building. And then Saturday, growing, building, but out of bounds, big, big. And then So the issue really, the 14th becomes, don't go buying a lot of stuff because you're not going to use it because it's a void moon, but it is a good moon for doing things, you know, for letting things go and release and change because of the square, things taking action on things and getting them moved along. So it's excellent for that kind of stuff. And then, of course, the Cappy moon on the 15th, the evening of Saturday, and on the 15th is a very positive moon around creating because it's a moon in Earth sextile to the sun again. So those are, it's a pretty productive week for moons. Now the other thing we have going on this week is the sun is running from 17 Scorpio to 23 Scorpio. So we are now in the Cancer decan going into the Pisces decan. So, you know, Scorpio Cancer, the first part of the week through the 12th is a lot about the nurturing component of Scorpio, the nurturing component of healing, the nurturing component of passion, the nurturing component of dreams and desires. Then, actually, I take that back. We're in the Pisces decan. Then we're going into the Cancer decan as of the 20th, which is the nurturing component. I had that right, but I said it wrong. So we're in the Pisces decan, which is a lot about the merging, the blending, the expansion, the universality. Then we get into a more personal moon, Moon Cancer decan in Scorpio's. I'm going to slow down a little. All right. Scorpio Sun, we're in for 30 degrees. We break it into three parts. The first 10 degrees are Scorpio, tense, passionate, wild, crazy, firing. Then we go Scorpio Pisces. We get a little more universal, 10 to 20 degrees. We like the universality. We understand the merging, the deep feelings, the expansion, the universality of Scorpio. Then we get personal. We make it personal. It was one of my least favorite phrases as a salesperson, but I'm going to use it here. We open the kimono, okay? We open the kimono, Scorpio Cancer. And we say, okay, the kimono's open. You see? And then we close the kimono. That starts on the 20th, where we get into the personal passion of the world. And our job with these energies is to go, okay, we're really feeling the passion. So Scorpio Sun in conjunct Uranus on the 9th, we need an adjustment as it trines Chiron. And it says, I want to heal you, but for me to be able to heal you, you have to take some fiery action. You have to do something, oh, Sagittarius, oh, Aries, Uranus. You have to kind of step your game up a little. Give me a little something. Sun is semi-sextile to Pallas Athena on the 11th. I'm a little stressed with what I have to do and why I have to do it. You're not being helpful. And so we have to honor that the not being helpful piece is really tied to, well, you know, I don't really want to help you because I don't like you, right? Pallas Athena right now is in three cap. She's just not necessarily willing to share with the Sun in Scorpio, who's saying you have to give it to me. Sun is also sextile Jupiter. Now, that's a nice one. It's an aspect of slight overdoing. But it is an opening sextile from the Sun when he joined with Jupiter in September. And now he's now opening sextile, and he's encouraging the expansion of the to-do list of Jupiter. Your to-do list should shoot up and get a lot bigger when we get to the 10th. And then there is a little bit of envy on the 15th. You're gonna find a little envy. Maybe from your mother, or maybe from someone who used to nurture you, and now you kind of go, wow, that wasn't a nice thing that you said. It was kind of a little sharp-tongued, actually. And I do think there's a little bit of, we got to kind of watch the envy flying around. Eris is at the world axis point, right? And she's a 22-37 Aries. And, of course, she moves really, really, really slowly. 500 years takes her to go around the circle. So what we're going to watch with her is as she aspects the Sun, is to say, the Sun's going to say to her whatever, and she's going to kind of maybe give him a little shot back. I think part of the thing that we're really working on, a lot of times, and it does seem to be happening a lot in my practice lately, people are really getting clear on situations where envy had existed or where there's a problem that's based in envy, that there isn't really anything they can do about, because if people are envious, that's just kind of what they got to live with, right? And sometimes those people get in power. You know, I had a client here earlier today, and we were talking about, you know, some situations in her life, and you know, and there's people that like to pile on. You know, when you're down, they like to jump on your head. And it was a situation like that. And you kind of go, yeah, you know, but that, you know, you're piling on and you know you're doing it. It's like, yeah, I'm doing it, yeah. And it's got a little dark edge to it. So we want to kind of watch that dark edge this week. And just be aware of that do unto others part, you know, and just kind of watch where that dark edge comes flying out of us. And maybe we need to manage it a little more. Mercury this week, running from 11 Scorpio to 22. He's picking up pace. He's going 11 degrees, which is close to a degree and a half a day, pretty fast, not as fast as he can go. But he does sextile Pluto, so he wants to do some kind of contract negotiation on the 10th. He has a semi-sextile to Mars on the 10th, so it's like something you're going to say, I don't know that I really want to do that, but I think I want to do this. And allow Mercury, as he works with you, to kind of help you clarify what you're looking for. A lot of times, lack of clarity is the biggest problem. And when Mercury's clear, when he's in Scorpio, he is totally, totally private detective Mercury. He gets it. He gets it on a deep, deep level. He psychologically may not have words for it, but he has a feeling. Listen to your feelings this week, especially if it's about getting involved in deals that you kind of go, I don't know that I want to do that. Mercury has a hard aspect in the nodes on the 11th. That'll be when the offer comes in. Of course, that's the new moon, that curtain drawing back. What do you want to do about it? Do you want to go down the secret passage and understand the stuff, or do you want to go, no, I'm afraid, and pull it back? No, don't go being afraid. Give yourself permission to go for it. Mercury trines Chiron and Uranus on the 12th. Here it comes. Now remember, the Sun and Mercury are traveling along pretty closely. The Sun's going to have this on the 15th. Mercury has a precursor of it on the 12th, where he goes, oh, wow. Now I have to see this. Now I have to understand this. Now I have to work with this. Because he does. This is what he does. He helps the Sun figure it out. And then he goes zipping by and comes to sextile Jupiter on the 13th, which gives a lot of positive energy. Good time for working deals, signing contracts, saying, okay, ready to roll. And then he has a problem with envy on the 15th. Because he runs into the envy planet and he goes, ooh, because that's where the Sun was, right? So the beginning of the week, Mercury and the Sun are kind of tracking each other. Sun's going to get there a little ahead of Mercury, but Mercury's going to put words to it. Venus, she entered Libra, and now that she's in Libra, she's a happy gal. And she entered Libra today, this morning at 10:30 in the morning, Sunday morning. And she's going from zero Libra to seven. She's going about a degree a day. And she has aspects with the nodes of destiny on the 11th. So watch who you meet on the 11th. She's hanging out with those nodes. She talks to Ceres this week on the 11th, which is partnering and connecting and relating and connecting on a deeper level. She has an argument with Pallas Athena. Sometimes people don't want to see something, right? I had a recent run-in with a friend who I'd lost contact with, and she said, you know, I didn't want to look at it. I didn't want to see it. And we have to honor that there's times in our lives when we really don't want to see something, that we have a really deep wish, and we don't really want to know. We don't want to know. Now, this week, with Venus square Pallas Athena, she's going to say to you, please, please look. You do not have to look, but I suggest you do. And you don't have to do anything, but you have to look. Pallas Athena's in Capricorn sign. She wants you to understand the patterns. And if you understand the patterns, it'll look up a lot easier than if you don't. So please, please look this week when Pallas Athena and Venus have their conversation on the 12th. Doesn't have to be a bad, you don't have to make any decisions. You just have to look. Then, of course, Venus sextiles Saturn. So she goes, thank God they finally looked. That happens on the 13th. And then she has a little bit of an argument with Mars. You know, she and Mars have not been getting along lately. They were kind of hanging out together, and then she's kind of, it's one of those. You know, you spend a little bit too much time with somebody, and you're like, you know, I think I need to go to my room now. So they're kind of in their own rooms, and they're kind of having a little bit of an argument. Mars is on one side of the equator. She's on the other. And they're kind of like, I know we're really friends, but right now I really need a little space. So let them have their space. Doesn't mean we have to end things, just means we need a little distance. That's November 13th. And then Venus is in conjunct to Jupiter the 14th. This is a classic aspect for a little bit of a sniffly cold because Venus is in conjunct Neptune and Pisces. There is often seasonal colds. This is the week for them. And so we'll see what happens. You know, Sun was on the world axis last week, so we run into someone with some joims, and we caught the joims. All right, Mars this week, he goes from 28 Virgo to 0 Libra. He is going to go across that equator, heading south, going towards the Tropic of Capricorn. So the beginning of the week on the 10th, he opposes Vesta. Great, 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 great. That 10th, Tuesday the 10th, releasing stuff from your house. I know, I think I tried to figure out why I scheduled tomorrow off. Kind of scheduled the day off, and I don't normally do that. And I didn't put notes in why I did it. But I think I was looking at the aspects from my chart, and it was like, oh, this is a great day to throw away stuff. So this week, great day to part, separate, release. And, of course, Mars opposite Vesta is a good time to release things on the 10th. Mars is also trine in Medos on the 11th, which is, okay, that's done. I'm finished with you. Boopity-boopity-boop. I'm out of here. Mars is on the north node of fate on the 12th, and he is very happy to be moving forward in work mode. Then he zips into Libra, and he is happy as a little clam on the 12th at 4:40, and he's going to be in Libra. Venus, of course, is in Libra until December 4th. Mars is in Libra until January 3rd. So Mars in Libra is all about relationships and partnerships and communications. Not one of his more favorite signs, but he's not going to be doing as much hard work and hard lifting as he has been while he's been in Virgo. And he's going to be a little more about let's partner, let's figure out the way we can work together rather than all the I don't want to work with you or I'm working in my missile silo, you work in yours. Much more collaborative. Things become more collaborative. And then Mars has a contra-parallel to Chiron on the 14th. Understanding where we carry a sadness. Chiron, you know, I should probably take a week and give a little bit of a speech on Chiron. Chiron is an interesting asteroid, planetoid. He's out there running between Uranus and Saturn. Right now he's coming up to Uranus. He's moving more towards the Uranian end of the circle because he kind of rotates between the two. And he links up Saturn, the karma, the purpose, the limitation with Uranus, the freedom. So he's moving towards Uranus, the freedom. But he also right now is in the sign of Pisces, which is a sign of deep sacrifice. So there's a deep sacrificial energy going around in the world. And we're not necessarily seeing it in our own life, but there is a lot of suffering. It feels like there's more suffering than usual. And so when we work with Chiron in this capacity, as he talks to Mars, Mars says, well, what can we do about the suffering? And a lot of times there isn't anything you can do. It's happening. So we can witness it. We can hold its hand. We can hang out with it. We can take its laundry to the laundromat. We can do some shopping for it. We can bring it a casserole. So this week, when you're seeing someone who's suffering or who's having a harder time, think about what you can do to help ease their suffering, how you can help them, how you can help them. And it doesn't have to be big. It just has to be a, you know what, how can I help? Jupiter comes to Aegea this week. What the hell is the name of that planet? Jupiter comes to Aegea. This is a classic cold. This is the week of the cold, people. We got like 5 indicators for cold. We got another couple other BIDs I haven't talked about. Uranus with Aegea. So, you know, snuffles, bump up on your vitamin C, do your airborne, go to bed early, you know, take your echinacea, put your thieves on, you know the rules. Then we have the nodes of destiny changing signs on the 11th, and they're going into Virgo Pisces. So we are finishing a 19-year cycle this week and releasing and letting go, releasing and letting go. South Node on the world axis. That's happening on the 11th. Very, very big. Let go, let go, let go. Play Idina Menzel singing Let It Go from Frozen. And allow things to leave. Allow them graciously to leave. Bless them and thank them. The node leaves Aries and enters Virgo, the sign of work. Remember, the nodes go backwards. And the South Node leaves Aries and enters Pisces. Leaves Libra and enters Virgo, leaves Aries and enters Pisces. So we're entering a spiritual connection, And these last degrees of the Virgo, Pisces, axis are very profound in terms of healing, in terms of expansion, in terms of understanding what we want. And so it's a big week. So I encourage you all to be very gentle, very kind. Open the door. Look down that secret passageway. Get stuff ready to go out in the world. And get ready for a rockin' week. And be kind to those who are having some suffering. And on that note, I wish you all a merry Sunday. And I'll talk to you next week. This is Ann Ortley signing off from the Weekly Weather. Take care.